Hey everyone, this is Sasha.
And Claire.
And this is
Dare to Rise.
Hey everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Dare to Rise with your hosts, Claire and Sasha.
Hey.
Today's episode is about our grieving experience and how we are working through it.
Or not working through it as I am.
It's all a process, right?
Yeah. I think everyone deals with grief differently.
Mm-hmm.
My experience with grief has definitely been probably different and non-existent. I've been very fortunate in my life to not have a lot of death around me.
Mm-hmm.
Even though death is not the only reason why you might need to grieve or have grief.
Any kind of loss, loss of a relationship,
loss of a great job.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, there's lots of different things. But I've been pretty blessed with my life, and I have had a lot of experience in my life where I've experienced sadness, but I haven't really had that loss in my life.
Death of a family.
Yeah.
That's like...
And even, like, there have been people throughout my life that have passed, but my parents have sheltered me a lot from it. Like, my grandmother passed when I was 5. I don't really, like, I didn't go to the wake and the funeral and stuff. I don't really remember anything about that because my parents kept me away from that stuff.
And also, you were 5.
Yeah.
Too, so that's...
Yeah, so, I have, like, relatives who will bring their children to these things and get them familiar with it and explain it to them. So every family treats it differently, and there's no right way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And even so, like, as I got older and other family members passed, it's the same thing. Like, my parents kept me, like when I was at school, like, oh, I want to come home and be there for the family. No, like, stay there. And it's always been, like, keeping me distant.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily think that they're meaning to do anything negative with it. They're just trying to keep me focused on my studies or just trying not to make me feel like I have to.
And also, like you said, they were sheltering you. They were actually protecting you. They thought that, you know, protecting you meant keeping you from seeing it. And so on some level, they were trying to keep you from those pretty awful emotions, really.
Yeah.
But in essence, like, from keeping you from feeling those emotions and processing that emotion as an adult, you didn't really learn how to process these difficult emotions. So.
Yeah, and that's exactly what it is. I just don't really know what to do with these emotions I have.
Mm.
Like, I remember several years ago, one of my uncles passed. I wasn't very close with them, but I remember I was at the little ceremony before the funeral, and I was sitting there and everyone's crying, and I felt like I wanted to cry, but I also felt like I couldn't cry. Like, I felt like I shouldn't cry, and I was, like, holding all that in. And, like, later I told my dad, I was just like, you know, I just, like, I really wanted to cry, but I felt like I shouldn't. He's like, why? And I'm like, I don't know. I didn't know how to react.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's very hard. And so this year, I actually experienced the first loss of someone that was relatively close to me. I'd still say they weren't, like, it's not like it was a parent or a sibling, but it was an uncle that, growing up, would stay with us frequently.
Yeah.
I was close to his daughter growing up, and we would spend a lot of time together. And it was one of those things that it was unexpected to me, I think, because my parents were kind of sheltering me from what was actually going on. For example, my uncle, he had cancer, and he had a tumor in his back, and he had chemo before he could actually have the surgery to remove it.
Mm.
He went in for the surgery, and I was going to call him beforehand, but basically my mother was like, oh, well, like, it's it's a straight up surgery. They're just going to go and remove it. Yeah, it's going to be like a 24-hour surgery, but you know, like,
he'll make it.
He'll make it. Like, it's going to be fine. And so in my head, I was like, oh, like, it's fine. I'm going to call him after the surgery. Mm. Like, I don't want to bother him right now. I'm going to call him after the surgery and, like, wish him to get well soon.
Yeah.
And what actually happened is 12 hours into the surgery, his vitals dropped, and so they had to stop surgery. And actually, he never recovered.
Mm.
And he just declined, and he never actually made it out of the hospital. He passed away there.
Oh, I'm so sorry. That's awful.
It is, and it's just, it's one of those things, it's like, it's still, it was so shocking, because I was like, but he was fine, and he was going to have the surgery, and he was going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
And then, even so, it was like, after the surgery, they're like, okay, like, they're going to do the surgery, like, next week, and everything will be fine, and then all of a sudden, it wasn't fine, and he only had hours or days to live, and they had to make a decision whether to take him off of the machine support or not.
Life support.
Life support. So he was hooked up to life support, and his daughter had to make the decision of whether to pull the plug or not. And I can't even imagine what she's going through, and just thinking about it really upsets me.
Could you picture yourself in that situation?
I just care so much about people, and when I see them in pain, I almost can feel the pain myself.
Mm.
I just envision, like, just seeing somebody cry, I don't know, I feel it. It could be, like, sympathetic crying or, like, empath notions.
Yeah.
But I just the thought of somebody I care about going through that is very hard for me, and it makes me very emotional.
Did he have it written out in his will, like his wishes?
He didn't really, I don't know that much, but I know that he expressed what he wanted after his death.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't want like a wake or funeral. He didn't really want any like big to do. He got cremated, and he just wanted like a small portion of his ashes to be buried with his mother back at home. Like, so he's on the other side of the country than we are. And so is his daughters and everything. So he had family there. And so the ashes were supposed to be divided between his two daughters and a small portion to be buried with his mother. And one thing that was extremely challenging is that I kind of bottled up my emotions waiting for a wake or a funeral or of some sort. Because when it was explained to me that he wanted some ashes to be buried with his mother, that we were going to have some sort of small ceremony. Not like some big to do, but like there's a lot of family around us and wanted something. So I just was like, okay, like I cried a little bit about it when I first found out. And I decided, okay, let me go to, like, I'll hold these emotions and I will cry when it's the appropriate time.
Mm.
Not necessarily that there is an appropriate time, but I was just like, I'm going to cry
when it's appropriate.
When it's the time to.
Yes.
And unfortunately, what has kind of happened is he didn't really want anybody there. He literally just wanted my dad to just go do it by himself. My dad managed to convince him to at least allow his siblings to go. So they were allowed to go, but as a niece, I was not allowed to go, which was really challenging for me because not having that closure has just kind of left all of those emotions bottled up inside of me.
It's like another layer added to this bottle, this container, because first of all, you thought he was going to get out of surgery and you'll be able to talk to him. And then he didn't.
And I never got to say,
I love you, you know, all the things that you want to say to someone if you knew they were going to die. And then on top of that, you didn't have the ceremony. So that's even another layer on top of all of those really negative and heavy emotions. So I really feel for you. That's a lot. It's a big burden you're carrying.
And especially since, like, I'm not very good or experienced with this, and I don't even think experience would help, but it's just because now I'm just walking around with that giant bottle that's filled to the brim with my emotions, and I'm waiting for the time when I can release it, and I haven't been able to release it, and it's been months, and I just don't know what to do with it. And even, like, we had some gatherings, like, with my family at the time, but the problem is that it wasn't quite what I expected. Like, we had, like, the little, like, after party from, like, when they were able to bury his ashes with my grandmother, we had the after party, and it was just like a party. It, like, didn't seem like people weren't grieving, people weren't talking about him, they weren't doing anything. They were just like, how's it going, how's your job, what's going on in your life,
and, another family function.
Yeah, and it just, it really was odd to me, and I just didn't know, and I was just like, well, I can't be bawling my eyes out when everybody's just chilling.
Hunky-dory.
Yeah.
Like, business as usual.
And so, still, to this day, like, I just don't know what to do with these emotions. And every time I talk about it or think about it or revisit this topic, I feel myself kind of, like, bubbling up and getting on the verge of crying. Like, like, right now, I'm doing a really good job at holding it together, but, like, a moment ago, like, I could feel it, and I was, like, starting to tear up, and I'm like, pull it back, pull it back, and it's very challenging for me.
I think it's also pretty common, too. Like, you're not alone in that. These emotions are really intense and strong and negative, and people don't like to feel it. So, essentially, what they do is they deny it. And then, like you, maybe they're bottling it up too. And, like, they're just kind of following what other people are doing. And
Yeah,
I can tell you, I, for one, bottling up emotions. I mean, you know this because you've done a lot of inner work too. But bottling up emotions is horrible.
Very.
Yes. Because
I feel it's horrible.
Yeah, you, like, you have all this stuff, you don't know what to do, you don't know where to go, and then you don't know when it's gonna pop.
Yeah,
like a
like
balloon.
A ticking time bomb.
Yeah, I know, like, I have a similar situation, except my situation, my grandmother hadn't been doing well. She had severe dementia. She was at the point that she couldn't even talk, didn't know anybody. And she had a private nurse, the whole thing. She was not well. And then I had heard that she was in and out of the hospital for pneumonia. And then one day she just went. I had a lot of self-hatred. I had a lot of guilt. I was like, I should have gone home more often. And home to me is the Philippines. My grandmother was still living in the Philippines. So because of the distance, because of time, work, my dog, I couldn't fly there for her funeral. So there was a lot of self-hatred there, just on that layer. And then the added layer of the self-hatred is that I should have spent more time with her. There was also a language barrier. When I came here to the US, I lost my ability to speak fluently in Tagalog, to add it up, that container we talked about, you know, and all these, like, bubbling up. And so it was just at that breaking point. And then with her death, I just had a breakdown. I really broke down and I cried a lot. And then I started kind of on this inner work, inner healing path. So in a sense, it was like it brought her death. That kind of spurred on this whole inner work that I've been doing on myself too. And then through that inner healing and that path and that spiritual path that I've taken, I saw that not dealing and not processing your emotions is like holding your breath. That's what I compare it to. And you can hold it for comfortably for a set amount of time, and then it gets a little bit more uncomfortable every time, every second that passes, every second that ticks by, you're like, and then it gets to that point where you just can't hold it anymore and you break down. I would say that right now, just from someone that has gone through a pretty similar experience, that you gotta give yourself permission. Give yourself, don't ask and don't look for permission from other people. Like in that party where nobody was like talking, everybody was just pretending like it was every day as usual. Just because other people aren't processing their grief doesn't mean that you shouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
But the important thing is to give yourself permission. And then once you've given yourself permission, give yourself that space and that time. Set aside like an hour or whatever just to cry it out. As you're feeling right now, bottling these up is tearing you up inside.
Now you just gotta rip open that bottle and let it out.
Yeah. Got a soda bottle that you like shake up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you shake it up because you're being shooken up with all these like unprocessed emotions. And then you gotta let it simmer. And then when it's safe, then you open it and then it's okay.
Yeah, because otherwise, if you just let it stay in there, eventually it's going to pop open itself at the wrong time.
And it's never the right time.
Yeah, it's never the right time, but if you choose to open it versus it popping it open like in the middle of a work day or
in a meeting.
In a meeting.
Someone just rubs
walking down the street.
Oh, God. Yeah, you're walking down the street and something triggers it, and then boom, before you know it, you're full on crying.
Yeah, and I think it's challenging because in both of these situations with your grandmother and with my uncle, they were far away. It wasn't like we could just instantly be there by their side and tell them what we're thinking. And even afterwards, it's not like you could go be with the family grieving with them because they were far away.
Yeah.
And with the cost of flying and place to stay and everything, it's just sometimes it's just not possible to be there for those things.
For the ceremonies.
Yeah.
The ceremonies are kind of like a place where it's, I guess, socially accepted.
Mm.
And that's like holds the space for that grief.
Yeah.
What I found through my experience, so my grandmother has been dead for a year now, and in this year I had just started doing little things every day to honor her. So for me, I always journaled. I love to write. So I was like, all right, this feels good. Okay, let me write her a letter. So that was natural for me because that's what I love to do anyways. And I found a way to incorporate her and then maybe honor her memory, her life. And so that's what I started doing. I started journaling and writing letters to her. And, you know, I'm also religious. So I got a candle. And I lit her candle and I would say a prayer to her. I also love to meditate. So I meditated on my grandmother and thinking about all the happy times that I remember from the Philippines. And then another thing is like I love music. And I started listening to old Filipino songs. And that made me feel closer to her. Another one of my friends who recently lost his dad, he, for example, loved to drive. He loves being in the car, being in the open road. So he just jumped in his car and was driving and then started having a conversation with his dad, like he's there. What I'm trying to say here is like, give yourself the permission and the time to process the emotions and whatever feels good to you and feels right. And everybody's, like you said, like we talked about, everybody's going to be different.
Yeah, and it's really just, everyone is different. Everyone's going to handle things differently. Like when my grandmother passed away a few years ago on my mother's side, I wasn't that close with her, but for my mother, when she was grieving, besides the immediate family, like her children and her husband, she didn't want anybody else around. Mm-hmm. She didn't want extended family coming around. Like, because her family is in Germany, so they're far away. But in regards to, like, my cousins and aunts and uncles that live around here, she was like, I don't want to talk to anybody. I don't want to see anybody. I need to grieve first before I can have those conversations with people about my loss. Mm. And that's okay. Like, that's perfectly okay.
That's coming from a very high level of self-care and self-knowing. Yeah. Like, she knew what she had to do for herself to then be okay to interact with other people.
Because for her, if somebody comes over, she has to be the hostess. Mm. And so she knew if people were to come over, she wouldn't be able to grieve properly. And she also knew that when people were saying, like, I'm so sorry, and talking to them, she knew that, like, they didn't know her mother, and so she didn't want to talk to them about her until she was ready, because she only wanted to talk to people who knew her.
Mm.
And so when she's grieving, she wanted people around her that were also sharing in the grief.
And, like, being, like, a hostess, too, when someone comes to you and they have, like, unprocessed emotions themselves, then it's like, okay, I'm now taking care of you, too.
Yeah.
You know, so it kind of becomes like that.
It's really hard, and it's, like, so not only do I have an experience with dealing with grief myself, but I also have an experience with helping people with grief. Oftentimes, I don't know, like, I haven't been to that many wakes or funerals. I don't know necessarily what's the right way to act or the right thing to say or the right thing to do in those situations, especially since the ones that I have gone to, they have been so different. Some of them, everyone's just sitting there chatting like, just another day.
Mm.
Others, people are crying their eyes out, and I just don't know how to handle that.
It's uncomfortable.
And it's just, it's not that it's just I just don't know what to say to them to help them in that instance.
Yeah.
Because I just don't have the experience for that. And then I start feeling bad, like, oh my gosh, like,
am I doing this right?
Yeah. And how can I help them? Like, I want to help them through their grief, and I just don't know how to.
Well,
and it's very, and then I start getting upset. I'm like, I'm here, I'm supposed to be helping them.
Yep. Meanwhile, you're so caught up in, like, oh my God, like, am I doing this right? Is this the right thing to say? And you get wrapped up. And
yeah.
But I, for one, can tell you, like, I remember when my grandmother died and you called me and we spoke on the phone. For me, having someone who just experienced that, just the fact that you were there for me and I could just talk to you was huge. Like, I didn't care what you were saying or what you were doing or any of that. It was just that you held that space for me. Mm. And to be honest, from my experience and what I like in a friend and what I look for in a support, when I was going through that, just to have someone to listen to was huge. It helped me with my grieving.
And I think that's really important to understand, is, like, even though I'm, like, panicking and I'm like, I don't know what to do, like, I feel like when it's like with people that I'm closer with, it's a lot easier. Like, mm-hmm. I know you, I'm close with you, and I have this comfort level with you that I can, you know, have that conversation with you and be there for you. But then when it's like somebody, like a coworker, I usually avoid going to things because I just don't know them well enough to feel comfortable, and I don't want to make them uncomfortable because I'm uncomfortable.
Mm.
And people can feed off of like
each other's
emotions,
yeah.
and then
yeah.
it becomes a whole awkward
so
thing.
So awkward.
And I don't think that's what they need at the time.
Mm.
So I tend to avoid those things, but I feel like I really need to do a better job at growing myself and taking those chances and risks and going out there and doing that and actually showing support, because I want to support them, I just don't know how.
Yeah.
And so I did do some research on this, and I'll give you the link below, but there's a mentalhealthamerica.net article about coping with loss, bereavement, and grief. And in there, they kind of give you some advice about how to like cope with your grief. And it includes seeking out caring people, expressing your feelings, taking care of your health, making sure that you just don't lose all aspect of yourself, that you're actually taking care of yourself as well, accepting that life is for the living and that you shouldn't just constantly be stuck in grief and that you need to learn to move on in a way that works for you.
Mm-hmm.
To postpone major life changes so you're not making decisions when you're not in the right headspace.
Yeah.
And being patient with yourself and understanding that it takes time and giving yourself that leeway to kind of just take the time to figure out how to get through it yourself.
Like, there's no right amount of time or right way to do things.
Exactly.
For example, like breaking up with a boyfriend, like, mm-hmm. oh, okay, you were together for 3 years and it should take you X amount of days or weeks to get over it. Or
not like that at
no,
all.
No, not at all. It can take, you could be with someone just for a couple of months and it would take you like years or something to get
yeah,
over it.
Yeah, and it's different for everybody. We can't say that enough. And then, of course, like if you really feel like you're struggling with it and you can't get through it, seek out help.
Mm-hmm.
Reach out to people, seek out help from a professional, a therapist, psychiatrist, support group. There's so many different aspects out there. There's apps that can help you, like BetterHelp, where they help sync you up with a therapist and you can have those conversations if you don't feel comfortable going and talking to somebody in person. It's kind of like a text messaging system. So there's lots of different things out there to help you if you're going through it. But the article also goes into helping others with grief and things like sharing the sorrow, allowing them to express themselves and explain to you what you're going through and empathizing with them.
Oh, I love this. Share memories of the deceased.
Yeah, especially if you know the person. Share your memories, your happy memories with mm-hmm. them. Tell them about like, oh, you know, like this one time they made me laugh so hard because they told me this story about this time that they did this thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those are the things like you want to share those memories, especially the happy memories.
Mm-hmm.
You really want to uplift the people by, you know, showing that you also cared about that person and having that moment.
Yeah. I've noticed that some places are now calling funerals celebration of life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's amazing to me. Is that there's major healing that comes from celebrating life and memories and talking about the good too.
Mm-hmm. And then it's also don't offer false comfort. Don't say like it was for the best.
Mm.
You'll get over it in time.
They're not suffering anymore.
Yeah.
I hate that.
I have totally said those things in the past and thinking that I was offering comfort,
mm.
but that's not really comforting.
Mm.
It doesn't matter. You still lost the person.
Yes.
And yes, you didn't want them to suffer, but at the same time, you didn't want to lose them either.
Mm-hmm.
Offer practical help. So like cooking for them, running errands, babysitting, doing things for them. Like I remember when you were talking about going to the Philippines, you were trying to figure out a situation that you could do with Riley. And even though I couldn't take Riley into my house, I was like, oh, well, I have a friend who could take. So like I was trying to help coordinate that with you.
That was amazing, by the way. It's like the little things that you don't think about. And like the other thing that I did, I had a friend who recently lost his wife, and I offered to take the dogs. I was like, if you need like a few hours, or if you need me to take the dogs, like, I'm happy to. It's just like those little things. And like also food, giving them food.
Yes.
Because you're running around, you're crazy, and you're not realizing that you're not like taking care of yourself too in those moments. Mm-hmm. So like just having like knowing that you have food in the fridge that you can just heat up and it's quick. It's like amazing how those little everyday things that, and if you have people that are helping you with all of that, it makes it so much easier, especially if it's brand new and fresh.
That's something that really I think you always see, like the like on TV, like somebody, like there's a funeral and somebody shows up with a casserole. Like people do that because it's so much better, just like because they're, like you said, running around doing things, and then before they know, they're not thinking about eating. And if you show up with a casserole, they're like, oh, I guess I should eat.
Yeah.
I guess I should eat this. And it's helping them.
One less thing off of your plate.
And it, when you're going through this grief, the last thing you want to do is cook for yourself or go out and buy food. Like you just want to just sit there. And
sometimes,
so it's really helpful to do those practical things for somebody. And then another thing, just be patient. Like you can't expect people to get over a loss when it's convenient for you. Like it's their pain that they're going through, and they're going to find the best way for them.
Mm-hmm.
But it could take days, months, years. You don't know. You just have to let them grieve, and there's no right time for anybody.
Yeah. Another advice that I would like to add from a friend of mine who's a grief counselor, an advice that she has for someone who has a friend dealing with grief is to don't avoid the subject.
Which I have done.
Well, you didn't know.
Yeah.
I mean, and the more you know, the better you do.
Yeah.
So she says that like people don't know what to say, or so they say nothing at all, and or they avoid the person or the situation altogether.
Check.
But she said that it's important to keep in contact. People need you at these times, and to talk about the lost loved one. So those are her two biggest advice. Who has a friend who's dealing with grief. Now, another advice that she had for someone dealing with grief is that she wants to say that you never get over it. And I'm putting air quotes around over it. Grief is something that you learn to work through, and that person will always be a part of you. But it can, the more you work through your emotions, the less and less it consumes of you.
Mm-hmm.
I actually found this amazing guided meditation on embracing grief, which I will provide the link for that. Highly recommend it too.
Yeah, and you actually did that meditation, right?
I did. I had my grandmother in mind. It's been a year, but like we said, there's no right time. It consumes less and less of you. And I just realized, like, through that guided meditation that I still had a little bit of unprocessed emotions there. I'm not angry at myself for that at all. She's, like I said, she will always be a part of me. She's a part of my life. She's a part of my story. She's a huge part of my story, I would say.
Yeah, I think it's also important to remember that even if you feel like you've gone through the grief process, it's very possible that you could re-experience that, those emotions all over again. Like when, for example, I lost my cat Midnight, and when I lost my cat Midnight, I thought that I had grieved at the vet clinic, even though I like had to bottle that up really quick because I also had a driving lesson in a snowstorm that day.
Oh God.
But I thought like when I was at the vet clinic that I had cried it out. I have dealt with my emotions. And then a year later, or a year or two later, I was looking through my old high school agenda notebook.
I remember those.
And I came across the rest in peace Midnight on the date that she passed. Mm. And then all of a sudden, all that emotion came flooding back to me. I started bawling my eyes out. And that's okay. Those things happen.
Mm-hmm. So now, you've mentioned earlier about support groups. My friend who's a grief counselor also highly recommended it. Support groups is just an amazing way to be around other people dealing with grief, and it makes you feel just a little normal, at least around for that time being. That's important.
And it also gives you the chance to be with people who are experiencing what you're experiencing. Mm-hmm. And that can be comforting in itself.
Absolutely. If you're in New England area, it's called Friends Way, which is modeled after the Dougie Center. Again, we'll provide all the links with all of these things that we are mentioning in this episode.
Definitely. Our dare for this episode is that if you are grieving a loss, give yourself permission to grieve and take the time that you need to do so, and just take an action to help you work through the process. And if you know somebody who is grieving and you're not actually going through a loss yourself, be there for that person. Give them a call. Give them a chance to talk about their grief. And if you know the person, share a memory you have. Mm. Be there for that person. Do an errand. Find some way you can support that person. And it doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't have to be 100% the best thing you could possibly do. Just being there and taking that action will help them so much.
Yeah, that's just it. It doesn't need to be this huge, grand gesture. It's just like something small. It's like a small act that is done with like a huge heart.
Yeah.
So just the fact of you being there and helping is huge, monumental.
Definitely.
Like the Riley situation with my dog, even though it didn't work out, it meant the world to me that you were sitting with me and you were trying your hardest to help me with that. So I want to thank you for that.
You're very welcome. Anytime.
So lucky to have you in my life. I really am.
And I'm lucky to have you.
Aww. So you feel free to use any of the suggestions that we did, that, you know, that we listed, like journaling, or if you don't know where to start or what to do, feel free to use any of these suggestions, like writing or music or meditation. Start somewhere.
Yeah, and even if it means like reaching out to a professional, do what you can. Like, you want to make sure that you are finding somebody who can help you if you don't know how to help yourself.
Mm. So we hope that this episode has been helpful. If you enjoyed it, please share, rate us 5 stars, and leave us a review.
And feel free to contact us using our email or social handles found in our description. We look forward to sharing our next episode with you.
Just remember, fear is a 4-letter word that can stand for
forget everything and run, or face everything and rise.
We dare you to rise.